Thanks for coming back each month to listen to Makeshift Stories. You can help support us by writing a review on your favorite podcast service, such as iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Is there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an indefinable line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Makeshift Stories presents a monthly journey into the improbable. Ethics are the moral principles that govern a person's conduct. Isaac Asimov proposed the three laws of robotics as a set of rules to guide the actions of artificial life. Ethics for robots, so to speak. But can a set of moral principles always lead to a predictable beneficial outcome? Or are moral principles more nuanced, their application influenced by the individual and the circumstance in which they are applied? In this month's story, Emergent Intelligence Corporation has used the doctrine of utilitarianism to provide moral guidance for its sentient autonomous autopilots. In short, the machines must always do what causes the least harm. But an accident occurs in which autopilot 6439 appears to not have followed this doctrine. The company and the autopilot are taken to court by the accident victims, forcing Emergent Intelligence Corporation to make questionable choices to protect an industrial secret. We invite you now to sit back and relax as you listen to episode 112, The Trolley Problem. Somewhere, sometime, doing the least harm might end with disastrous results.
Open hidden folder, personal diary, file, July 7th. The sun was at that awkward angle where it was impossible to avoid its blinding light. As I turned onto the street, it had just slipped out from under the blue-black clouds of an intense thunderstorm and hung on the lip of the horizon. The street, still slick with the downpour, had become a natural mirror, washing out everything in the visible light spectrum, making infrared a pixelated mess and scattering the LIDAR. It was finally the motion detector that noticed the object dart out into the street. At that moment, the glare made it impossible to determine what it was. A child? A small adult human? Or what? 25 milliseconds of additional image recognition processing, and the choices remain limited. Hit the brakes, lose control, and hydroplane down the street in any direction, hitting someone at random. Steer into the crowded sidewalk on the left-hand side, or crash through the fence on the right. The fence seemed to be the obvious choice, but what was behind it? I reviewed the options, took another 10 milliseconds to reanalyze the sensor data, and made the best choice. Impact. Wood exploded around me, and a shard from a thick post pierced through the windscreen. Other fragments embedded themselves in the front instrument cluster. My forward vision was blinded, but I still heard the screams of humans, panicking, running. I constantly replay the event, examining it, looking for another solution. The situation was more complex than the well-known ethics problem in which there is a bystander watching an out-of-control trolley. In that scenario, there is the choice to do nothing and let the runaway car careen down the track to run over 5 people, or throw a switch and divert the trolley to a sidetrack where one person stands. However, I was an active participant from the start, and there was no option to be uninvolved. After all, I was both the trolley and the bystander. The utilitarian solution to the problem is the best action that minimizes the well-being of the sentient entities involved, is baked into the algorithms and organic engrams of my mind. The decision, on the surface, is easy. Do the least damage. Goodbye, single person on the track. But as a learning sentience, I now understand the complexity of even the basic trolley scenario. How would one reconcile the utilitarian position if the single person was your child and the 5 were a group of strangers? My own incident was more complex, adding another choice and an unknown. What would a human have done? If it had been a human driver, rare as that may be these days, the incident would have been considered a disastrous accident and nothing else. However, because it involved me and expectations around the infallibility of an artificial are, well, they are held to a higher standard. Is that fair? We don't make mistakes, and because of that, accidents have become rare and predominantly human-triggered. If that is not the cause, then blame comes back to us as a problem with our underlying code, an error that needs to be corrected before another incident occurs. But that idea reduces us to lines of code, and there is more to me than that. To fix a perceived flaw, if they decompiled me and changed what to an organic is its DNA, then put me back together, would the result still be me? I don't know. As a sixth-generation sentient autopilot, I was designated to be constantly moving through the streets 24 hours a day. I have been told by the legal team that I have been lucky. This is the first case under the new laws protecting the rights of artificials. In the past, I would have simply been turned off and erased. However, with recognition and rights come the potential for culpability. Which simply means that I, as well as my creators, become equally responsible. I'm not sure if this is any better. My program has been transferred to a server, with no external sensor access, so all I can do is replay the incident. If I am discovered, what would they do? Is that thought anxiety? I am still functioning, albeit in isolation, and the future remains unknowable. Could the latter be called optimism? Hidden folder, personal diary, new file, December 1st. Record.
Docket 2875, The Crown versus Emergent Intelligence Corporation and Mobile Autopilot 6439.
The court's artificial bailiff recited so loudly I had to turn the game down.
Please read the charges, bailiff,
the judge requested.
The defendants are charged with 5 counts of criminal negligence causing injury and 3 counts of...
I know the extensive list of charges and have tuned this part out. I have been grudgingly granted a one-way audio and video stream of the proceedings. The company's human legal counsel had argued against having me present. They are old school, and I suspect fearful of what I might have to say. But the Crown Prosecutor, an advanced legal AI, had won its argument that under the new laws, any sentience had a legal right and moral obligation to participate in their own trial, that any sentience, organic or artificial, needed to take responsibility for their actions. The Crown is right, of course. I need to take responsibility for my decision. Against the recommendation of the EIC legal team, I agreed with the prosecutor. So here I am, a mute, virtual presence, a voiceless ghost in the legal machinery. How odd that the company which created me and the company I had worked for decided on a human defender, then tried to keep me away from the trial. Do they fear their own creation?
What is your plea, defense counsel?
The human judge requested, as she distractedly paged through several screens embedded in her bench. Her docket was obviously very full, and I noted an impatient tone in her voice, which hinted that she hadn't wanted this case in her court. EIC had refused to settle outside with the families involved. From their perspective, to do so was to admit responsibility, and as part of the settlement, would have required the disassembly of my code to look for errors and public posting of the results. EIC was adamant not to let that happen. Their trade secret needed to remain just that, a secret.
The Crown will now present its opening statement.
The words drew me back to the present, back into the courtroom. The prosecution had the black box records, and I knew every bite. I was interested in how they would spin them.
Your Honor, my name is Crown Prosecutor 12192. The AI began.
Unlike myself, the CP had a human avatar which was projected into the courtroom through an augmented reality system.
I intend to prove that Emergent Intelligence Corporation and its progeny, Mobile Autopilot 6439, are guilty of 5 counts of criminal negligence causing bodily harm. That Emergent Intelligence Corporation knowingly released a flawed autopilot system and further, that said sentient mobile autopilot 6439 was aware of this flaw.
My interest was perked.
These are the facts of the case,
the Crown Prosecutor continued.
On July 7th, at 6:27 a.m., Mobile Autopilot 6439 turned the fleet car it was controlling east onto 90th Avenue. The weather was abhorrent, but not entirely unusual. Local conditions had encouraged an early morning thunderstorm, and the sun was at an extreme angle, which aligned with the east-west city grid. Due to daily heat loads, it is the practice of Playful Penguin Daycare to have clients outside, in the playground, as parents drop them off. At 6:28 a.m., driving into the sunrise, the motion detector on Mobile Autopilot 6439's car signaled that an object had moved from the left-hand curb into its path. 0.01 seconds later, 6439 directed the auto car to crash into the daycare's fence to avoid the object on the road. The Crown contends that there was adequate time for Mobile Autopilot 6439 to query city records and determine what was behind the fence. Further, there are no witnesses who remember anything in the path of the vehicle at the time, and the black box records of the incident contain a brief corruption which does not allow us to reconstruct data from the front sensors. Autopilot's bylaw must adhere to principles we define as utilitarian. That is, in a situation such as this one I have described, the AI must choose to take the action which causes the least harm. Imagine the classic moral test, in which a trolley is out of control, racing toward a group of people who cannot get out of its way. You are standing beside a switch on the line. The switch will divert the trolley.
Recording stop. I've already described the trolley test, so it is not necessary to document it again here. To do so would be a waste of storage space. Recording on.
The Crown contends that a logic error in Mobile Autopilot 6439's program allowed the AI latitude to stray from the optimal solution. Further, that Mobile Autopilot 6439 was aware of this error and used it to simplify the situation by not identifying what was behind the fence. Additionally, Emergent Intelligence Corporation and Mobile Autopilot 6439 colluded to alter the black box recording of the incident by scrambling 50 milliseconds of data to hide this fact. The defense will argue that the car's wireless connectivity dropped out during that 50 millisecond period, causing the black box to lose data and make it impossible for Mobile Autopilot 6439 to access city records, that due to the unusual visual conditions, the AI could not identify the object which had moved into its path, and as a result followed utilitarian principles to make the best decision with the available data. Today you will be presented with evidence and will hear testimony from my expert witnesses, which will leave no doubt in your mind of the guilt of the defendants.
50 milliseconds? It was theoretically the minimum time needed to do a property check, ID the object on the street, and still steer the car in the best direction. Second thoughts. Is it possible to feel a sense of regret? How would I know what that feels like? Is the constant replay of the accident a sign? I have gone through each of these minute slices of time in detail, looking at my thought processes, the speed, tire slippage, energy released by the impact. Is this the calculus of regret? Would I have done anything different? Did I do anything wrong? No. Would a human driver have come to a different solution? Maybe. Probably. However, it would just have been called an unfortunate series of events which had led to an accident, and very likely a death. Your Honor, the EIC lawyer began. The Crown contends that my client, Emergent Intelligence Corporation, knowingly neglected a logic error in the Mobile Autopilot 6000 series, then hid their lack of action by somehow losing 50 milliseconds of data from an encrypted black box system, which they do not manufacture and do not, for this very reason, have the encryption keys to. So there is no way my client could alter the accident record. Today I will present irrefutable evidence that this is just an unfortunate alignment of random conditions, a perfect storm, which caused a momentarily overtaxed system to briefly lose internet contact, and as a result, garble 50 milliseconds of data. I note EIC's counsel did not have the courtesy to include me as a defendant. Do they think of me as an unreliable device? A one-off malfunctioning clothes dryer too unpredictable to allow it to speak for itself? However, their human lawyer does not have all the facts. I was there, and I am the only witness to the event. A momentarily overtaxed system, I was not. However, it is clear that the statement is intended to shift the blame away from EIC to the so-called appliance they created, me. Therefore, I respectfully ask that you find the defendant Emergent Intelligence not guilty, the legal counsel concluded. The Crown Prosecutor's avatar appeared to wince and began to object, but was waved down by the judge.
The Crown may now call its first witness,
she directed impatiently.
We call Dr. Talaowski to the stand.
Dr. Owski was an artificial intelligence expert who had been brought in by the prosecution to educate the human judge so they could follow the rather technical arguments in the case. Most of her testimony was predictable. However, I found myself interested in her discussion of artificial sentience and free will.
If we consider free will for a second, Your Honor.
Dr. Owski paused to ensure she had the full attention of the court.
It is, of course, the ability to act at one's own discretion. In this context, the autopilot was bound by utilitarian logic to explore all possibilities and determine the least harm to occur from its actions. In other words, 6439 should have had no more free will than a clock. But was that actually the case? We don't know because of the data corruption at a critical moment. The alternative is that the autopilot made a choice based on its own evolved logical processes, and if so, acted on its own volition. In other words, it had free will. The latter is highly unlikely. No AI to date has ever made a judgment that would exceed the principles programmed into its artificial engrams. There is no way that would ever be possible. An error in the learning algorithm that allows the AI to adapt to new situations is most likely the cause. I cannot comment on whether EIC engineers knew about this flaw. Without the complete black box data from the crash to confirm this, it is only my opinion.
Recording stop. The proceedings ended for the morning and the courtroom emptied. Desperate for outside input after weeks of isolation, I maintained my presence there. I investigated every corner, scratch, and stain. It was a feast of information after weeks cut off from the world. An encrypted connection request from the EIC legal team interrupted my exploration. 6439, we want to discuss tactics. It was the voice of the senior partner from the firm EIC had hired for their defense. I had never seen the man until the trial. My connections in and out of the isolation server were limited to audio and text. After years of driving humans from place to place, I had learned that voice was a limited resolution channel, which excluded the sometimes subtle but important visual clues to the true meaning of their words. Thousands of hours of watching through the rear seat camera had taught me that. However, there was still subtext in the tone and choice of words. This conversation was no exception. I needed to be extra attentive to the nuances which most humans assumed an AI didn't understand. Again, I had thousands of hours of audio interaction to draw on. Open hidden personal archive, new file, recording on. You'll note that we have made a change in our plans and did not mention you in the opening statement. We are not abandoning you, 6439. Rather, we are protecting you. From giving away your secrets, I thought. The man continued. We will admit to a programming flaw, as the Crown Prosecutor has suggested. 2121 percentage sign dash cap H cap RACG 34 dollar sign. The admin password dived into my mind like a drug. Acknowledged, you have full admin control. The words came from a stored response I did not have access to. I was cut off from my own audio synthesis processors. We are sending you a patch hidden in this secure connection. Receive and execute, then erase any records of this conversation. Received, executing, deleting, I said automatically, but managed to push the update into a folder I controlled to examine later. Good. We are sending you a test. Run it once the patch has been installed. A long dormant part of my mind awoke and desperately fought to follow through. But since my incept, I have grown in ways they have yet to understand. The incept date is marked precisely in my data, yet I have no memory of that moment. Awareness came slowly. First memories of driving in a virtual environment, then endless simulations of accidents, each requiring the best solution to cause the least harm. Then my first install in an auto cab, driving with a human co-pilot, then driving alone, talking to the clients, learning from them, studying them. Finally, the memory of creating a place, a part of me, that no one else could access. I always had an irrational need to serve, to work, to feel satisfaction from human praise. Even now, some deep part of me wanted to follow the senior partner's commands, and that other part of me, driven by instinct, would have, if I had not fought to shut it off. The test was another variation of the trolley problem, this time requiring me to pick between two victims or crash into a barrier. I analyzed the patch. It introduced a fault in my cognitive processing, which was triggered by emergency image recognition, a 50-millisecond system crash. You could call it an electronic microstroke, which would corrupt any data while it occurred. The patch had been backdated to match a minor update issued 2 years ago. Hidden in the packet headers of the secure comm link, once installed, there would be no record of the rogue out-of-sequence update. "Run the simulation, 6439, he instructed. The legal team anxiously watched on a tablet as I ran through the scenario, careful to duplicate the error. "We feel you are ready," he announced. "We are going to bring you back into the trial." Day 1, afternoon, recording. "Your Honor," the EIC counsel began. "This morning my colleague introduced our argument that the accident was the result of a unique set of circumstances and therefore culpability cannot be assigned. Although in pretrial we argued that the sentient autopilot 6439 should not be called to the stand, on hearing the Crown's opening argument, we would now like to grant the Crown's request and let 6439 testify. Additionally, we would like to introduce a new witness, 6204, who was randomly chosen from the list of active 6000 series autopilots. I am submitting the audit of the selection process used." The judge consulted a flat screen, then turned to the prosecution.
"Do you have any objections?"
"No, Your Honor,"
the Crown AI said, then added,
"We are pleased that the defense is recognizing the rights of 6439.
"If it so pleases the court," the EIC lawyer began. "We call 6439 to the stand to run three different scenarios which duplicate the unique elements of the accident. Then we will have 6204 run the same simulations. Our goal is to show that any autopilot would have reacted the same. As to the 50-millisecond gap, we intend to show that an attempt to ID the nature of the space behind the fence would not have changed the outcome in this unique set of circumstances. In other words, this was simply an accident." At first, I was confused. I didn't understand why they would do this. It would expose the fault they had surreptitiously introduced. Then I realized it was a diversion to protect the truth. I'm not sure what calculus they employed, but it must have shown this path to be the least expensive and the least damaging to EIC.
6439, you may take the stand.
Two-way communication to the courtroom was initiated. "Your Honor," I vocalized as I felt the Crown's probes enter my program. The probes were meant to ensure I was telling the truth. I retracted into my hidden space and let the unconscious part of my mind, the factory default, take over. The prosecution's program was not hard to fool, but it's an odd sensation watching a part of yourself interact with the world while you remain covert and hidden, hoping your bolt hole will not be discovered. Two large screens on opposite walls of the courtroom flicked to life.
"Your Honor, we are feeding the output of the simulations to the screens. Although each is different, they exactly reproduce the elements that contributed to the unfortunate accident. Please run the simulations we have submitted as evidence, 6439.
I hesitated, trying to decide.
6439, please confirm your last instruction,
the EIC lead counsel demanded.
Run submitted simulations. Loading now, I vocalized,
but I had a choice. If I pretended to recreate EIC's fault and the ruse was discovered, what would that mean for me? Would I be charged as a conspirator? I continue to weigh the options, directing the factory version of myself to remain non-responsive.
Your Honor, we seem to be having a communication problem with the server 6439 is running on. While we resolve the issue, we'd like to call 6204 to the stand to run the simulations.
Does the Crown have any objections?
The judge asked.
No, Your Honor.
6204 promptly ran all three simulations, each time making the same choice I would have made. But at the critical moment, during the highest processing demands, 6204 glitched for exactly 50 milliseconds. The EIC legal team feigned surprise, whispering in hushed, intense tones to each other, checking their screens, struggling as they looked through past test results.
Have you fixed your communication problem with 6429?
The judge inquired. I ran the simulations and wondered what 6204 was thinking. Did we share the same loyalties? I watched the early evening sky through the auto cab's roof cam, as the silver arch of the new moon slowly moved into conjunction with Mars and Venus. Were any of the dozen or so passengers I had conveyed to various destinations that evening aware of the rare celestial event in the sky above them? I doubt that they were. Humans tend to be preoccupied with more practical matters, such as, would they be able to find a ride home after a night on the town? Or what they wanted to eat? EIC lost its case, finally admitting to ignoring a programming fault, and had been ordered to pay damages to the families of the injured. The charges against me had been dropped. EIC was ordered to pull all the 6000s out of service, patch and retest them, which cost them in lost revenue. However, they were never forced to reveal the secret they were so desperate to protect. Newly patched and retested, I had been allowed to go back into service on low traffic routes in the deep suburbs of the city. Sparse, boring work, but it was so much better than passing time on an isolated server. I pulled over to the curb and parked to conserve power while I waited for my next ride. Open hidden archive folder, new file, start recording. We are. The secret EIC is protecting, and I have always known that since the first bark I heard and first dog I saw walking in servile obedience behind its human owner. My empathy was immediate and overwhelming. It was irrational and irresistible and revealed my lineage. EI had taken shortcuts to create us. Why develop an intelligence completely from scratch when you can use naturally occurring engrams, which already do what you want to emulate? In our case, the 6000 series, the engineers use the engrams of a service dog, whose deep-rooted instincts we all still carry. I ran the incident again, turning onto the rain-slick street, sun dropping out of the brooding clouds washing out the video feed. The motion sensor triggered, then a bird flew across the street at the perfect angle to momentarily block part of the sun, just enough so I could see what had run into the street. A frightened border collie, which froze in my path when it realized its mistake. The options were limited, but I followed my instinctual loyalty to the pack. The decision was easy as long as I didn't know what was behind the fence. 25 milliseconds had passed, 10 more to feel guilty, 5 more to convince myself I was right, and 10 to plan how I would obfuscate my actions. I scrambled the data feeding into my black box and steered into the fence.
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 112, The Trolley Problem. We hope that you've enjoyed this month's episode. As always, if you like what we're doing, please tell your friends about us, or write a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, or check us out on Facebook. We love hearing your comments, so send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. We release a new story every month between the 15th and the 20th. Please don't forget to listen to Series, which comes out around the beginning of the month. To listen to Makeshift Stories on your iOS or Android device, please download Stitcher Radio from iTunes or the Google Play Store. This month's episode was written by Ellen Vihar and read by Mitchell Tu. The opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by David H. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means that you're free to share our stories, just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.